Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Stand with a clean heart, if you can, and you can. Stand with a clean spirit, a clean attitude. Stand with a clean mind, and stand with clean hands. And if you cannot do that, confess your sins and repent. Get your heart right with God, so the Holy Spirit of God, who is nobody to play with, can move freely on your heart and on your spirit and on your life and on your mind. For as I said last night, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. May I preach in your hearing once again of a nation that has lost its light, a nation that has lost its way, a nation that has lost its soul. Part 2. The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 8. Still a part of the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 695, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1060, since January the 1st, 2016. And I want to thank my oldest son, Daniel White the 4th, as well as my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, for helping me with this message, for they helped me with the research and putting it together, and they have been a great help in that regard. I give credit where credit is due. I have to rebuke them often as well, but they know about that, and God knows about that. But I give credit where credit is due, even to my own family. And I thank God, and I thank God for every pastor, every preacher who has his family serving with him and helping him in the ministry. And may God bless you if you have a wife to boot to help you in the ministry. And so that is truly a blessing. Allow me to read in your hearing, if you will, once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A very fascinating, not only powerful, but fascinating passage of Scripture. It is a pivotal passage of Scripture. It's I would call it a hinge. While my dear brother Andy Stanley is telling Christians to unhitch from the Old Testament, we see this passage as a hinge, like a door hinge. It opens to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, big time, big time. It's good. So we're going to, by the grace of God, be here for a little while. Not tonight. I'm going to try to get you out early. I will do my best to get you out early tonight. Moreover, the verse 1 reads, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now this is Paul on this side of the cross. But he was connecting us back to the other side of the cross. Not negating the cross, but helping us to understand that the Old Testament is important to Christians living on this side of the cross, contrary to what the heretics are saying today. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 2 says, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I want you to focus your attention on that phrase, not well pleased. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. How many of you parents, you've done your best for your child, and they know it. But yet they are disobedient, proud, arrogant, stubborn, rebellious, and don't show the proper appreciation for what you've done for them. Well, how do you think God feels about those of us who are not only blessed to hear the gospel, but to be saved by the gospel, but not only that, to be born in the greatest country in the history of the world, where we can serve Christ freely? The greatest country in the history of the world outside of Israel. For there's no greater country than Israel. Contrary to what our anti-Semitic people are talking about today. Well, God is offended. God does not like what he sees. I'm just telling you. He is not well pleased. But let's break it down. He's not well pleased with us as the church. But let's break it down. Is he well pleased with you on an individual basis? Because we got to deal with this on the individual level. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word tonight. I thank you for this hinge passage that opens the door to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, and honoring the cross of Christ right in the middle. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for your wisdom, your mercy, as your servant Daniel did. Yeah, your understanding and how you give us understanding and you reveal things to us and you help us to see things that without your help we cannot see. And Holy Father God, in these, what many people believe to be the last days, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults, where we have not pleased you. On an individual basis, we all know our shortcomings and our sins, our abominations and our failures and faults and lies and dishonesty and hypocrisy. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And help us all to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves, and to stop taking your grace and your salvation for granted, and to be grateful for it, to be thankful for it, and, Lord, to show you that we love you back because you first loved us by being obedient to you in the shining lights that we should be. For, Lord, the truth is we've lost our light. You gave it to us. You gave us everything. No group of people have been more blessed than people born in this country and Christians saved in this country. And yet, Lord, like Adam and Eve messed up paradise, we have messed up paradise called America. We have failed you. That's just the truth. And we know how loving you are and how gracious you are and how forgiving you are and how, Lord, if we just make one step to you, you'll make 10 to us and clean it up and forgive us. And you've been so gracious, so long-suffering, and so merciful. But the truth is, Lord, we have messed up royally. We have messed up just as much as the Israelites, if not more, and I believe more. And only you, Lord, can forgive us and cleanse us up and help us to repent and get ourselves together and to get back on the firing line and to get back to where we left you and our first love. So, Lord, revive us again and help us to experience a New Testament revival by getting back to you, our first love. Now, Lord, nothing good is going to happen here tonight without you. And so I pray for fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. In spite of all of the devils and demons and enemies that I'm fighting right now, Lord, as you know, they're fighting against me. And I thank you for your protection. It is a miracle for me to even be here tonight. And I thank you for that. And I pray that you will continue to protect me and use me as I preach the gospel and your holy word, that revival would take place and that lost souls would be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding verses 1 through 5 in this passage, by the way, we already have a book out titled the same as this message series, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. It includes all folk, so don't get your dandruff up. But it's quite different than what I'm preaching. It's the same, but it's different. I'm adding a whole lot during the preaching that's not in the book. So you can get the book if you want to and follow along. But we're digging deeper in the message series. Regarding verses 1 through 5 in the passage I just read in your hearing, Dr. Walvert and Dr. Zuck said, by way of setting this whole series up, in addition to the messages I preached last week, they said 5 advantages were enjoyed by Israel, and you can put America there, American Christians there, if you wish. They said, first of all, the liberated Israelites enjoyed the supernatural guidance and protection of the pillar of cloud in their exodus from Egypt. The Corinthians had similarly experience God's guidance. And protection. They go on to say, second, all Israelites passed through the cloud and the sea and experienced a miraculous deliverance from those who sought to take their lives. So too had the Corinthians experienced, that is, the Corinthian Christians experienced a miraculous deliverance called salvation through Jesus Christ. I do not believe, ladies and gentlemen, we understand what Paul did for us here in this passage by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God's holy word. He melded together and put together the Old Testament and the New Testament, unlike anybody but Jesus Christ himself. And this is good for our day and time when we have preachers, popular preachers, telling people the lie that we should unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament, so that they can tell the lie that it's okay for homosexuals and all other people who practice abominable acts can be members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't mind you coming to church, but you can't be a member. We're not only talking about homosexuals and lesbians, we're talking about adulterers, whoremongers, fornicators, because everybody understands, everybody in their right mind understands that once you trust Christ as Savior, some repentance ought to take place. We understand that, as my mother used to say, from the get-go. Thirdly, the Israelites, Danielle, were all baptized into Moses, and that is, united with their spiritual leader, God's servant who became the object of their trust. The Corinthians have been baptized into the body of Christ, of which he is the head, he is the leader, and in whom they trusted. By the way, Moses had to trust in him as well. His name is Jesus. As a fourth privilege, the Israelites all enjoyed spiritual food, the supernatural bread from heaven. And I'm going to expound upon this a little bit more tomorrow, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. The Corinthians, too, had eaten bread from heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. As a fifth advantage, Paul listed the spiritual drink enjoyed by Israel in the desert. According to Paul, Christ was the source of this supernatural water. Do you see how, by the grace of God, Danielle, do you see how Paul so wisely, the wise foundation builder on Christ, the Apostle Paul, was putting it together? So wisely, so powerfully, you know he was led by the Holy Spirit of God. Because things were being revealed to him that people today, after 2,000 years, are having a hard time understanding. Since the incident of the rock which produced water marked the beginning of Israel's wilderness wanderings, and happened again near the ending of their wanderings. My, my, my. Paul concluded that Christ accompanied them. Christ, too, was the source of supernatural water for the Corinthians. The presence of supernatural privileges in the lives of Old Testament Israelites did not produce automatic success. And no matter how many hundreds of wonderful new methods we have in the church today, I saw an ad today on one of the Christian sites, how to start your church in 4 easy steps. And they sell the package for $3.99. And not only that, they'll sell you an ordination papers as well, so you can be legit. But that's not how it works. You can get all of the formulas and all of the methods, and you can buy all of the church planning packages you want, and you can follow this guru and that guru. Just understand, you're not the guru, and the guru is not you. And you need to follow God, and you need to follow Christ. And we have nothing but failure in many circles. And even things that look successful can be an utter failure in God's sight, my dear friend. In fact, I would venture to say most things that look successful as far as what we call church today is probably, no doubt, an abject failure in God's sight. Numbers have never been the measurement of success in the Christian work. In serving God from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament. You're going to be shocked and amazed at the people who will be called up for the awards in heaven. Some people you think will be called up because they were so-called mega church pastors. They'll be so far in the back you can't see them, because they compromised with the world. They watered down the gospel to be popular and joined the world that God told us not to love. Can somebody say amen? Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're going to pray in a few minutes. In fact, give me some time. Give me, well, how many minutes I got left here? What time you got? Tell me the time. Say it again. Okay, good. Okay, let me know when it's 7:55. I'm trying to respect your time. I don't want to keep you longer than, because I have so much to say, I can keep you all night. But I don't want to keep you long. Everything that we call success today is not success at all. It is failure. Success is trusting God, trusting Christ as Savior, loving God back because He first loved you. That will settle many things. Fearing God, that is respecting God, reverencing God, which most people don't even know anything about that, but the Bible has a whole lot to say about it. And then obeying God. See, without trusting God, without loving God back, without fearing God, respecting God, reverencing God, you will not obey God. You just won't. It doesn't work that way. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not obeying God. And if you don't obey God, you can't be faithful, but you should be. And we have a whole lot of folk who don't even line up with any of those things I just mentioned. Many pastors are that way. Most churches are that way. It's just a big old, in the words of somebody I'm getting ready to quote, a big old social club. And that's what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called it. In the white church and in the black church. We used to, back in the day, have what you call community centers. And you know what? For most cities, that's where the church is now the community center. All, everything under the sun is going on at the church. Brought in from the world, even Eastern religions. Yoga is not just an exercise, man. That's a part of a religion. A false religion. And now we're doing yoga. We got something called, what people call Christian yoga. In the church. Desecrating the church with yoga pants on. All kinds of ungodliness and uncleanness. So everything that looks successful is not successful. On the contrary, in spite, back to what Dr. Walvoort was talking about and Dr. Zuck in their fine commentary on this passage, he said, on the contrary, in spite of their special advantages that the Israelites had and we had, most of them, in fact, all but two members of one generation, Joshua and Caleb, experienced God's discipline, were disqualified, and died in the desert. My. What that means is, my beloved, by way of translation, God does not play with people he has called and blessed, and they don't obey him. That goes for the Old Testament Israelites, and it goes for the New Testament Christians, contrary to what we're hearing and seeing today. In light of this, Paul's avowed need for personal self-discipline was genuine, since even Moses was disqualified for the prize. End of quote. And by the grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, just hold on to your hats. I'm just setting it up for you. We are going somewhere. The lost souls of black folk and white folk, the two founding races, if you will, with respect to the Indians of this great country. That's what Condoleezza Rice called us. And the majority, still, black folk and white folk of this country together. And I'm talking primarily to Christians, because whether you want to be or not, we are servant leaders, as you call yourselves. And the way we go, the way America goes, and the way America goes, the world goes. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, we're not going in the right direction. And may I say to you lovingly, but earnestly, that the problems in America have been caused by us. Sinners are going to do what sinners do. I'm talking to the people of God, the mess we have going on in America right now is because Christians have not done the job that Jesus Christ called us to do. Black Christians and white Christians. We have a situation right now where black Christians right now are wondering, who are in the Democratic Party, where in the world are they going to go? Because they have a Democratic Party now that is off the chain. They closed down the reservation and they're way off the reservation. They have a man right now who's a mayor, but he's a homosexual and married to a man. In the Democratic Party, right down in Austin, Texas, he had a town hall meeting. And there was not a black face in the place. White Republicans, white Christians who are in the Republican Party are wondering what in the world they're going to do. Considering all the lies that are being told by this president and the men around him. I don't think we've ever had this many folk go to jail surrounding a president. And I don't think we've ever seen a group of people tell more lies and commit more whoredom. He said, well, it's just, you know, people are just wicked. People are just evil in the country. Those who are liberals, they're the problem. No, we're the problem. I believe Dr. Tony Evans tried to tell you this a long time ago. But y'all don't listen to Dr. Tony Evans. White folks don't listen to him as they should because he's black. Black folks don't listen to him because he's trying to reach out to white folk and bring us all together. But he was right, and I'm right today, that we are the problem in America. We have failed God. We have failed Jesus Christ. We have failed this country. If you don't believe me, listen to what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in his letter from the Birmingham jail so many years ago. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, so often the contemporary church is a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often it is an arch defender of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silence. And the church, the church's silent and often even vocal sanction of things as they are. We have that going on today. But he goes on to say, but the judgment of God is upon the church as never before. If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authenticity, forfeit the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet. He was right then, and writing in the 20th century, that book declared that the judgment of God was upon the church like never before. And my beloved, that is even more true for the church of the 21st century, the church of today. Dr. King was speaking of judgment in the context of racism, segregation, hatred, and complacency, all sins in God's sight. All sins they were committing back then on steroids, and we're committing the same sins today and more. It is amazing to me that God has not wiped us out. But I do believe judgment is coming. I believe judgment is coming. Just remember the word of God, dear friend. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, or country soweth, that shall they also reap. And we're reaping the whirlwind. We may be at the point of no return, to be quite frank. But prophets still got to prophesy and preach, no matter how hard your faces are. Today we can speak of the judgment of God seen in the exposure of many churches. Christian so-called servant leaders. Just got to get that word leader in there. We can't leave it at servants. We got to be somebody. And so-called lay Christians as being money hungry, prosperity gospel pushers, power obsessed. Isn't it interesting how the world does preachers who seek power at the White House think they're doing something? And now most of the preachers are down at the outhouse. It's a sin now to even be seen in the White House as a preacher. When Billy Graham was here, it was an honor. But even Billy Graham admitted he did too much of that. Power obsessed, sexually decadent, like many of us are in the church. Homosexuals now in the church. Pastors, so-called preachers who are homosexuals. See, there was a time in the black community that you may have had 1 out of 100 who, what we would say, had some sugar in his tank. He was not quite where he needed to be. But he had enough respect for God. He had enough respect, yes, sir, I said for God. He had enough respect for God. He had enough respect for God's church, not to bring that garbage into the church. Amen, somebody. Amen, lights. Oh, yes. You see him break that wrist on here, bring it right back and straighten it out real quick before he got into the church. He had enough sense to respect the church. But these devilish people now want to come not only and sit in the church, they want to lead the praise team. They want to lead and sit in the pulpit. Somebody said, now I don't believe God is in the apologizing business, but somebody said that if God did not destroy America with how good he's been to us, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is not in the apologizing business. You don't have to apologize about anything. By the way, the reason why God is big on humility and meekness is because God is humble and meek. God takes a whole lot of mess from us. His mercy is deep. His love is long. I stand amazed even after 40 years of serving God that I'm more and more shocked and amazed at how much he loves us and puts up with our garbage. But as someone said a long time ago, the will of God grinds slow, but it grinds show. So you can rest assured, after a while, by and by, God will get tired. And he is right now warning us. And if it were not for the remnant of the true saints of God in America today, down in Podunk, Texas, down in Podunk, Kansas, down in Podunk, Georgia, few little band of Christians who are true believers praying for this country, I assure you, this country would have been destroyed a long time ago. But after a while, by and by. And in America, we have idol worshipers, people who worship everything except God. So these are all sins that God judged his people for in ancient Israel, God's chosen people. They are, the Bible says, in this passage, our examples. In other words, Andy Stanley, we need to pay attention to what happened to Israel. I predicted some years ago, and I'll repeat it here tonight, that God will begin to dismantle this country piece by piece in loving warning to the most blessed country in the history of the world outside of Israel. And he's doing it. The New Testament passage that we just read today, written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to the Corinthian church. And you know, they were not anything to write home about. Tells us that we, the church of today, ought to learn from God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And that's what we are establishing by the grace of God. Because by the grace of God, I have a whole slate of sermons based upon what God said to the Israelites and that he is saying to us today. For Israel, my beloved, was set up to be a shining light to the heathen nations around her. But because of her sin, her pride, her stubbornness, her rebelliousness, her idol worship, her whoredom, Israel lost her light and came under the judgment of Almighty God. The old folks used to tell us God ain't nobody to play with, and they were right. Some of us, many of us, were lost and on our way to hell. We didn't know it. But we had more fear of God when we were lost back in those days because of Mother Breedlove, 80-something years old. You know, she's a grandmother so many times over, you just call her Mother. Mother and them. We call some of our grandmothers Mother because the real mother was not there. She was out doing other things. Those old saints who didn't know much about the Bible, but what they knew, they told you about it. Amen, somebody. Some of us had more fear of God and more respect for God in the church when we didn't even know God. Because those old grandmothers would sit on the porch with their apron on and it looked like they were sitting there waiting for you to do something wrong because they had a switch in their hand doing like this right here. Monitoring your behavior. And I don't care how rambunctious you were, you respected grandmama. You respected her. She put the fear of God in you. That's what one of the problems today. We don't have any grandmothers. Everybody trying to be Kim Kardashian, even the grandmothers. We don't have any grandmothers. We don't have any mothers. Everybody trying to get their groove on. 55 years old, 60 years old, trying to catch somebody's eye, and they can't even see themselves. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Hey, look over there. He's handsome. Oh, let me get my glasses to see. Oh, okay. You can hardly see yourself out there trying to catch somebody's eye. We need more grandmothers and more mothers to be grandmothers and mothers. Stop trying to be cute in America, both black and white. Nowadays, you can't even tell if a woman is a grandmother. You can't tell. And they like it that way, all stretched out, got the skin all stretched so tight, looking like a peach. Is everybody all right? Got the body all stretched so tight they can hardly walk. Listen, when you get old, you can't hide it. You can't hide it walking like this. Ought to be on the porch with a switch. Men the same way. 80-something years old. Trying to get with somebody 18 years old. You lying devil. In the words of one gentleman, all she wants is your house. She don't want you, you old man. Sit down somewhere and be a grandfather to your many children. Try to talk some sense into their head. Be that as it may, nobody's helping me to keep time. I don't know why these people are so disobedient when it comes down to time. I guess they love my preaching so much. They won't tell me, won't help me stay on time. But that's all right. Be that as it may, it seems the American church today has also lost its light and is under the judgment of God. We are. You can like it or lump it or choke on it. We are under the judgment of God. You say, I wish you would just be nicer and say things in a nicer way. It's too late for all that. That's what's wrong with the church today. Everybody trying to be so sweet and nice and not tell people the truth. Well, you know, these young people got their own mind, and they just got a different view of things. We just got to let them go on it and just bring all their garbage up in the church. No, you don't. Many young people will listen to you if you tell them something. But make sure you got yourself together. Make sure you don't have a Bo Peep man in the closet when you go home. Don't be trying to talk about, honey, you ought to leave that man alone. That man is married. Yeah, but mama, you got a man on the side who's married too. So what? What about that? Well, nothing. And because the witness of Christians in this country has gone out, my God help us, and we all know it's true. We got most pastors just planning events instead of going soul winning and witnessing to lost people. because our witness has gone out in the church, my God help us, the light of America has gone out as well. Christians in America have long considered this country something of a divine project. Daniqua? We have seen ourselves as special, a city on a hill designed to give light to the world. Many of the men and women who first settled this country were deeply influenced by the Bible and religious thought. Those who drew up the scaffolding of our experimental democracy also believed in the guiding hand of Providence in the affairs of nations. Even those who did not claim to be Christians acknowledged that the moral principles taught in Scripture were bedrock to the establishment of this great nation. John Quincy Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, one of two who signed the Bill of Rights, and the second president of the United States, said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." He said, "Without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company." He said, "I mean hell. It would be hell." He went on to say, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise would be, or would this region be." And ladies and gentlemen, America founded on the principles of the Jewish Testament and the Christian Testament, which Adams called eternal and immutable, the perfect word of God, was destined to be that region. But somewhere along the road, we got sidetracked. And worse than sidetracked, we're in a ditch. We lost our way. We lost our soul. The lost souls of black folk and white folk. Look around and you will see that America is far from a shining city. We have descended into the swamp of vile hatred, bigotry, pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, disobedience, witchcraft, and merciless mob culture. Sexual decadence and homosexuality extends from the hills of Hollywood to the halls of the Capitol and American colleges and universities. Corporations and government entities alike seek their own profit as they trample on millions who don't have the influence, money, or time to fight back. Greed, indulgence, and selfishness are the currency we trade for vain success, empty success, so-called short-lived popularity, and shiny possessions that fade in our sight or slide down a hill in a mudslide as we lay eyes on something new. We have lost our way. Ladies and gentlemen, we need guidance. We have lost our soul. We need God in our lives to guide us. William Williams wrote a hymn. He's a white brother, but is one of the great hymns of the black church. Of course, now the black folks are going to take it from the white folks and make it their own. They have totally changed the beat and the rhythm and the cadence and the call and response that white folks don't know anything about. It's just not in them. But it's a great song. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven. You all right back there? Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. You can tell I'm getting ready to break down into it. I'm trying to hold myself together. Feed me till I want no more. Open, I don't know why black folk love this song, but they loved it. This is the mixture of black folk and white folk together doing something good for the glory of God down through the years. Bread of heaven. They would break down into it. But I'm going to try to finish this and get you home. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. Lord, I trust thy mighty power. Wondrous are thy works of old. Thou deliverest thine from thraldom, who for naught themselves had sold. Thou didst conquer sin and Satan and the grave. Sin and Satan and the grave. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for prayer. And if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things that you need to do. Whether you live in America or in Poland or in Russia or in Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia or China. And by the way, we thank God, even though China is cracking down on the underground church, they're pushing more and more people to listen to me preach for one of our biggest countries. And hearing the gospel from this poor preacher is China. And we thank God for you. So whether you are a Christian here in America or in China or in the Philippines, or in Kenya, number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love, Jesus Christ. And number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost. Who knows? God may have mercy upon us and revive us all again and help us to finish strong. We all know somebody in our family or among our friends that they have not done well for years. But we try to encourage them, do the best you can now. Finish as strong as you can. Finish well. Don't finish the way you have been doing. And so I'm sure God is pulling for us. Even though we have messed up, we have sinned against God. We have failed God. We have failed Jesus. We have disobeyed the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We have failed the American people. We have failed thus this world. But by the grace of God, endure until the end and finish well. Finish well. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us a mighty long way. And in spite of ourselves, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for stirring something in my soul to proclaim these messages. And Lord, I thank you for your holy word that inspires all of us and moves us and reminds us. Lord, help us not to play but to pray. Help us to confess our sins and to repent, to turn from our evil ways. Right there in the home first, for charity must begin at home. And then in the church and then in the community, we have husbands and wives who know they ought to confess their sins and repent. For they are pharaohistically proud, stubborn, disobedient, rebellious, hateful. In private, in the home, in public, in the church, and some even in the bedroom. Disobedient, stubborn, rebellious, hateful, mean. But want other people to think we're all that and we're so wonderful and sweet. When you know the truth, you know how ugly we are. And Lord, you made all of us with some beauty. But Lord, the truth is, all of us are ugly on the inside, every last one of us. The black souls and the white souls and the brown souls and the yellow souls, all of us are ugly on the inside. That's the truth. And we see it more and more when we get up close. We see a whole lot of it when we get married. And we have to live with one another. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to focus on you. Focus on you, Lord Jesus. Focus on your holy word and not our feelings and not our thoughts and what we want to do, but to do what you want us to do. Because this is your world. And we're just creatures in it. Help us to abide by your word and do your will. Help us to turn from our evil ways. And help us to get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us tonight and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can still get saved. Even with Christians not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Jesus is perfect. We're not. And I apologize to you for all of us Christians of not living up to what Christ has commanded for us to do. And so, dear friend, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That means you do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church. Just simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray and ask him to save your soul. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you tonight, you're ready to trust Christ as Savior? If you are in your heart ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. For Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Are you ready to get saved tonight? Wherever you are in the world, trust Christ as Savior. Follow me in prayer, and he will save your soul. Yes, it is as simple as that. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have told lies before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I invite you into my heart to save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.